Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Pathways Podcast.
That's right.
89, maybe.
It is 89.
Oh, okay.
If you saw my little test run earlier, I'm now joined with Steve and Aaron. We had to see if we were having technical difficulty or not.
So. I was not in the room, and I got the alert that
that's
the way
exactly
was live.
That's exactly what I said. I said, you know what's going to happen? Aaron's going
to
get a notification on his phone.
We just get to a point where, like, you know, if you're not here, we're just going to go on without you.
We're just moving on. So we're just going to keep going.
In my defense, right. I was here at 9:59, so...
In the car, in the parking lot.
No, I was in this building.
I was just saying, can you make
in this room.
Which is more than enough time to prepare for the podcast.
All my prep was done in the copious amount of studying I did last night and this morning.
There you go. So,
and then I get here and told, hey, we're going to be talking about this book.
Well, we're done with theology.
We are done.
We've made it through the big, huge theology book. So we got to...
That's right.
We're going to... talk about something else today.
Yeah.
So that'll be good.
You want to hear a dad joke?
We'd love to hear dad jokes. Tell
Just
us
kick
dad
it off.
Jokes.
Kick it off.
What do you call a fish with no eye?
No eye.
A fish.
Oh my goodness.
Fish with no eyes.
Doesn't work without vowels.
Why?
The
why,
elementary teacher in me is like, ah!
Why do melons have weddings?
Melons?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because they cantaloupe.
Oh my goodness.
So bad.
Yep. Wow. Tell us another one.
One more.
If you're cooking out this weekend, don't forget the pickle. It's kind of a big deal.
You lost me a pickle. I hate pickles.
It's a big deal.
My mind.
It's a big deal. You don't like pickles.
So here's the last one. Why did the raisin go out with the prune?
Something about a date.
Because it couldn't find a date.
Yes, it couldn't find a date. There you go.
Look at you.
I know. I'm like,
you should write
words.
Dad jokes.
Yeah, right.
That's the goal. Next podcast, Marcy has to bring two dad jokes that she made up.
I just made two up. Right.
Yep. You can do it.
I'm not
You're
even
creative.
A dad.
You're creative. Bring a mom joke.
I don't mom think mom jokes. Jokes are as funny.
I would agree. Just saying.
It's good.
Anyway, so good week. Everybody have a good week?
Yeah.
Good week?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, obviously there were some hard things in it.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I mean, it's a surreal life in ministry in that, you know, if somebody asks me, how are you doing? There's like multiple layers. So it's like personally, I'm doing well. Ministry-wise, there's a lot of hard stuff going on. Or, you know, there's things are going on. So there was a, you know, we obviously Saturday we had a funeral for somebody that has been a part of our fellowship and sad situation. So that made it heavier for sure.
Yep.
But all in all, things are good.
Good.
So. Yep.
Good. Yeah, no, I was at that funeral. You did a good job. And the hope is that people heard the gospel message in that. And they can find hope in the midst of tragedy or their own personal struggles and dark times and find hope in Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So good job. And that's the hope. So
yeah, yep.
Definitely.
Been a lot of prayer requests coming in this week, too. And shout out to people volunteering for the prayer team.
Yeah.
Wow, that's been an amazing.
That's good.
Amazing.
Yeah, a lot of people stepping up. I stepped outside to get prayer before the service, and there's like two new people on the prayer team.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's good.
It's great.
Good.
I would say, if you're wondering why I'm wearing this Bears jersey, it's in honor of the fact that their first preseason game is Saturday. So at this point, everybody's undefeated, right? So we can all be optimistic.
And it is preseason.
Right. Sure.
I mean, everybody's optimistic that their team is going to go undefeated in the preseason.
And they didn't have a preseason last year. I mean, not like they
That's
did.
Right.
Not like they, I mean, it was just, it, they just, their preseason, they didn't have the games and they just went right into the season. And so, you know, the good thing about the preseason is that you get to see players play that, you know, like maybe won't start. But so anyway, not, a lot of people probably don't care about the NFL or the Bears. But I do, and so I just thought it'd be fun to wear a jersey for the podcast.
That's good.
Should have worn my Broncos jersey. My throwback John Elway jersey.
Not Carl Mecklenburg?
Carl Mecklenburg.
I loved Carl Mecklenburg growing up.
He was a good
up.
Player, yeah.
He was a great linebacker. Marcy's over there going, move on.
Where
we could talk
violently.
About Bill Romanowski.
Bill Romanowski, the dirtiest player ever.
Literally.
Yeah.
We won't share on podcasts what he did before games, but anyway. Moving on to the sermon from Sunday.
Kathy's back there with me.
Preaching out of 1 John 2, right?
Yeah.
Starting with verse 12.
12 through 29, that's right.
This is where John shifts into the warnings.
Right.
So be warned.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this picture of a father sitting at the table with his kids. And, you know, and he starts with these encouragements. Remember, this is how we live in this family. This mm-hmm. is what it looks like to be a member of this family. And then he shifts in verse 12. And he's like, now be warned.
Right.
Because this is what is going to come against you
mm-hmm.
as a member of this family. And so there's some pretty powerful stuff in here, which includes he talks about Antichrist. He talks about people that leave mm-hmm. the fellowship. It's really, really pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But he does start with, he starts with these statements that are like these identity statements,
mm-hmm.
And which was really good. You know, he talks about, I'm writing to you, are God's children, you know, because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. So that's an identity statement,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're a child of God, your sins have been forgiven. I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. You know God, is what he's saying. And then he writes to you who are young in the faith because you've won your battle with the evil one. And then he kind of repeats all that,
mm-hmm.
but then he says, I have written. So it's like, I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you, and I've told you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So here it is. So remember, don't forget your identity in Christ. And then he goes into being, you know, to not love the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even talking about the battle, and the battle with the things of this world, and the fact that, you know, you brought up, we fight from a position of victory.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right? The battle is not for victory, it's from victory.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's one of the reminders that John gives us.
Yeah.
But yeah, the let's talk about not loving the world. And you brought up the C.S. Lewis quote to Chuck Swindoll.
Yeah.
Insulate.
Not isolate.
Don't isolate.
Don't isolate, insulate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was really good. You need to equip yourself so that you can be in the world but not get sucked into all of its,
right.
its lustful temptations and pleasures and things mm-hmm. like that. And that's really, so when he's talking about the world, he's not talking about literally the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that as Christians, we need to be lovers of the earth. Mm. We need to be, you know, kind of one of the first calls of man was to be basically caretakers
mm-hmm.
of the garden, mm-hmm. of God's creation. And so that I think that still should be important. And we're called to love people. But in all of that, there's like this system, this ungodly system that, you know, appeals to the sinful nature of man.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we are to not love.
Yeah.
And that is what we are to insulate ourselves against so mm-hmm. that we don't just give into it and forget who we belong to.
Right.
And remember that our goal here on earth is to really only please God. That's it.
Right.
That's what we, you know, not please ourselves, not please, the, you know, go into all the temptations of the world. And, you know, that's a huge deal because mm-hmm. that's really how people get trapped
mm-hmm.
is that they, you know, especially as Christians, is they, well, you know, what could it hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm going to kind of give into this a little bit and that never really leads anywhere good.
Yeah.
He talked about how the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything you can see, and a pride in our achievements and possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Just appeals to our sinful nature in so many ways.
I want to talk about isolate for a second because I think for a lot of us over the last year and a half, some we were forced to isolate for a period of time, and some people just stayed there and never came out of it and never came back to having fellowship and having relationships. And it's almost like a lot of people are stuck in this place of not thinking that they need community, not thinking that they need relationships with other believers. What would you say to someone that's in that place? Like, I just need to isolate and stay to myself. And, we've talked about, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but I mean, that's not how we're called to live our life as a Christian.
Well, if you're not careful, you can make it sound like, somehow, because you choose not to isolate, that you're somehow better than somebody else. Mm. When in reality, my whole thing is what's the Holy Spirit telling you to do? Mm-hmm. Is the Holy Spirit really telling you to isolate? And are you sure that's the Spirit of the Lord? Have you run that past other people? Have you ran it past the Word of God? Because not all spirits are holy, mm-hmm. or the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So, I do think, based on my experience, and obviously this is anecdotal evidence, but I don't see anybody thriving in isolation. Mm-hmm. I see exactly the opposite. And, I'm not going to say what is the right thing for you to do.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if you come to me and you say, hey, this is what I feel like God is leading me to do, I would say, well, let's run that past Scripture. Mm-hmm. What are we called to do as Christians? Do not forsake the gathering and the meeting together. Mm-hmm. We see fellowship time and time again. I might say something to you like, how are you going to stay connected in fellowship in light of, health concerns or whatever? Because some people, they have health concerns. Mm-hmm. And so maybe it's not even COVID related. Maybe their health concerns is they're not mobile, mm-hmm. or maybe they're in a long-term care center and they mm-hmm. can't get out. And so they're kind of isolated. So how do we as a church bridge that fellowship gap and mm-hmm. and help them out or whatever it is? So there has to be something there.
Yeah.
You're not meant to be by yourself. You're not meant even to be like as a family, to be separated, like an immediate family, to be separated from the family of God. Mm-hmm. Can you work that if you have no other choice? Yeah, I think God can honor that. But at the same time, you need the herd, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah. I think it's important too, who have we given permission to in our lives to speak truth into our lives? Who do we surround ourselves with? Who's our inner circle that's going to speak truth into mm-hmm. us? Because let's be real. If all of a sudden I start isolating and, I've given you permission to speak truth into my life, and if all of a sudden I'm not connecting with the church, I'm not showing up and doing things, I have a feeling you might say, hey, what are you doing?
What's going on?
I would say
what's
that.
What's going on?
But at the same time, though, I would give you the right to say, I'm fine, leave me alone.
Yeah. Right.
And I would be like, okay. Yeah. I mean, that's the hard part. I think the hardest part about being a pastor is I know what the Word of God says, mm-hmm. but I don't necessarily know what's right for you in a season mm-hmm. or a moment, because I get my philosophy is time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
But I will say that part of I just see this. I don't know. It's very frustrating, and I showed a little frustration in my message. Sadness is I just see so many people that they. So John is giving these warnings and nobody thinks that this could be them. Mm-hmm. Nobody thinks that they could be deceived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody thinks, well, that I see that happening to other people, but that's not going to happen to me. Really?
Yeah.
For me, I have people in my life because I do not want to go down this path. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's one of those things where you see it coming. I think that you just kind of start to, maybe you veer off a little bit here and maybe a little more there, and before long you're so far off the path that you don't even know how to get back.
Yeah, compromise here and there.
And the idea is that somebody could say, hey, what are you doing veering off your path here? Mm-hmm. And I could be stubborn and rebellious in that and get mad at people that, you know, it's like, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, I have to remember that God put these people in my life to help me in my journey. Mm-hmm. And the second, you know, I see so many people that reject the very people that God has put in their life for no other reason other than that these people suddenly have told the other person something they don't want to hear.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's like the relationship is over. You've told me something I don't want. You've told me something I don't like. You told me something I don't want to hear. So therefore, we're through.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, when the Bible talks about in the end times, people will gather for themselves leaders who tell their itching ears whatever they want to hear. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that means that you're going to want people around you to tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
So,
but it might not be truth.
Are you disciplined enough to have people around you who tell you what you need to hear?
Right.
And here's the deal. Social media is already doing that. Like, if you watch the documentary...
what's that called?
Doggone it. I don't remember.
I don't know.
Social Network? Is it called The Social Network?
Yeah, I think that's like right. That? Yeah. But it talks about the algorithms. Like
They study your habits.
Right. Everything you click on, everything you look at, how long you look at something, like it all goes into a database and then they start feeding you everything that you read. So all of a sudden, now you have a bunch of things that you agree with, a bunch of things that you want to hear showing up and that you're constantly scrolling.
So then you think everybody thinks this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, my old news feed only says this.
And that's all it is.
What's with all these other people that think differently? You know, another great line from that is that always remember that when something is free online, if a product is free online, you're the product.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember that. So Facebook, who's the customer?
Mm-hmm.
The customer are the advertisers.
Right.
Because they're the ones paying money.
Right. That's
so all the product is you.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're feeding you up whatever it is that will get you...
Right.
The most, and you know, here we think it's just a social networking thing, and
right.
You know, we share pictures and all that stuff. And
social dilemma.
Social dilemma. Yeah. That's it.
That's the name of the documentary.
Yeah. So the one thing I would just say too from the message is you talked about the idea of hopelessness, and I think that in the midst of everything we've talked about, as we have small compromises over time, and we maybe don't listen to people who are in our lives who are going to speak truth, and we kind of go down that path further, we can find ourselves in a place of hopelessness or find someone we love in a place of hopelessness. And the definition that you gave for that was the inability to see through our feelings in the moment. Mm-hmm. So in that, I have a question I kind of want to throw out to you guys is, So we had the Global Leadership Summit last week also. Thursday and Friday, we had the Global Leadership Summit, and it's a conference with a lot of speakers and a lot of different talks and everything. And so I feel like there's kind of two things in this. And one is there's this reality that our feelings will deceive us. And so just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean that that feeling is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that even that's a godly way to feel, or that's right. how God wants me to feel about something. But it means that in reality, this is how I feel, but it doesn't necessarily mean that my feeling is truth and that I should follow that. But then I also, so in the Global Leadership Summit, and I know this because I've experienced this, right? So when you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you.
Right.
And sometimes I think the Holy Spirit leads and guides, and you said too in your message how the Holy Spirit inside us like gives witness to truth.
Right.
So there's something in us that's like, that is truth. Like the Holy Spirit in me testifies to that. So how do we distinguish between our feelings and this feeling inside of me that is really the Holy Spirit truth, and know, do I follow this? Do I not follow this? How do we kind of distinguish
between the two? I think part of it is maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of goes back to that idea of familiarity. But yet, even then, you never reach a point where you can fully trust yourself alone.
Mm-hmm.
So you know right away that the Holy Spirit, so we know what the Holy Spirit's going to do generally. The Holy Spirit is going to illuminate Scripture, is going to guide us into truth and point us towards Jesus. I mean, these are the things that we know the Holy Spirit's going to do. So when it comes to like individual things, you can't ever negate the need for things to be confirmed mm-hmm. by other people mm-hmm. of God. So for example, you know, you talk about the Holy Spirit testifies things that are true. Mm-hmm. So if I say something, you're going to be over there going, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. And then we have a conversation. We talk about stuff. And, you know, we talked about this on staff. You know, we want a culture of transparency, which means we need to be able to talk about things and then afterwards say, you know what, I don't think that was right. Mm-hmm. You know, because otherwise, you know, if you're suppressing things or you're, I just believe that, you know, you bring everything out into the light and you kind of let the Holy Spirit sift through it, but you do it in a collective. Mm-hmm. And some things, when they're really complex, that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah.
You know, like one of my jobs is as a visionary. So I feel like oftentimes I'm on the front edge mm-hmm. of certain things. And then I will come to you guys with ideas and you'll be like, eh? What? Or you'll be like, wow. Oh, you know,
right.
And sometimes it takes time.
Yep.
Sometimes it's both. I say something initially, it's like, how many times have I been the staff meeting? I've said something, everybody's looking at me like, I think he's finally lost his mind.
Are you serious about that?
but then we talk more about it. We kind of start to, you know, frame it up.
Right.
Put some structure to it. How's yep. this going to happen? And then it gets to a point where people are like, oh, okay. So I think a lot of stuff is a process.
Right.
But I really think that God makes it that way.
Right.
I always remember that scene from Indiana Jones mm-hmm. and Raiders of the Lost Ark where they're at the beginning when there's three guys and each guy has a piece of the map. Mm-hmm. And they put the whole map together. And I think God puts this process kind of like that. You have your piece, I have my piece, you have your piece, and we're working through it. But the real picture is when we put all our pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I just see there's so many warnings here. Mm-hmm. There's so many warnings in Scripture. That,
yep.
You know, we think of Scripture as being God's promises, but there are just a lot of warnings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the warnings is you can be deceived.
Right.
Beware, be careful. Remember, you have the Holy Spirit to help you, but mm-hmm. you can be mm-hmm. deceived.
Right. So, but you can also find truth. You can find truth in God's Word, that's right. And that's why it's so important to be connected, you know, to Christ and to other believers and in the Word and yeah. really letting that become part of who you are. So.
And I think talking about feelings, I've seen over this process of growing in Christ and maturing, as you said, like a lot of times my initial gut reaction mm-hmm. to a feeling in a situation may not be the most godly reaction. And so, but I'm able to discern that in the moment. And instead of saying what I think I should say or what first comes to mind, there's this process of maybe internalizing a little bit and thinking about.
So right. what is worse, to say something you shouldn't say, but ultimately do what you're supposed to do, or to say something you should say and not do what you're supposed to do? Which one's worse?
I think your action proves what you really right. believe. So
so along the lines, if your initial reaction is in the flesh, but ultimately you move in the Spirit, mm-hmm. then I think that that's a process that over time, you know, you can kind of resolve and you can continue to perfect by the grace of God. But it's the people that say one thing, mm-hmm. you know, they say all the right things,
yeah,
but then they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. That's I would be highly suspect of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather have a person come in my office and tell me something that I don't want to hear, but yet then we still get together, work together, and do what we have to do, yeah. as opposed to tell me to my face all these wonderful things, and then behind my back they just
right.
they just completely disregard everything that you say.
Right.
So yeah. I think that's I think that's important. Mm-hmm. One of the things, yeah. one of the big ideas that came to me, I love it when I get new information. I've been preaching in the Word for so long. I get affirmation, mm-hmm. but I don't always get revelation. But one of the things that was revelation for me was the meaning of anti.
Oh.
And it can mm-hmm. mean two. It can mean two yep. things. It can mean against, or it can mean instead of.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he talks about Antichrist, I think that, you know, so you know, you see the movies of the anti, you know, where there's an Antichrist figure, and it's just obvious
right.
that this is the devil
this
in the flesh.
It. Yes.
And I just think the true Antichrist mm-hmm. is going to not be obvious at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be something that's very attractive
mm-hmm.
to this person, because it's not that he's necessarily, he's against Christ, but it's more because he could be trying to get people to believe in something instead of Christ.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that the Antichrist, because there's kind of a spirit of the Antichrist, which is
right.
anything that opposes Christ or anything in place of Christ, but then there is the Antichrist. So, you know, according to Scripture, at some point there will be a person who rises up in that position. Do you think that that person will know that's who they are or their role?
Hmm.
Or do you think...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
My 12-year-old asked me that question.
I was
like, I don't know. That's a really good question.
Do you think, so when he talks about, do you think, so when John talks about many antichrists have already come, do you think that all of those thought of themselves as antichrists? I don't think
they
did. I would
say no. Right?
I would say no.
The other thing that I would add to that is that I think that every generation, there's a world leader that every, you know, that Christians who are in this are kind of like, you know, but I think that it's also kind of designed that way to.
Well, and I would say. And
make
you
us
know,
alert
right.
and be ready and not be deceived
and
know
I think,
that it could happen anytime.
I think you have to be very cautious about the ways in which you're critical about certain things. So,
mm-hmm.
for example, I would never, so I know that churches are the bride of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm critical of mistakes that we make generally
mm-hmm.
in church, but it's all of us. These are mistakes we make, but I would never call out a church.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, of course, they were completely apostate and they didn't even really believe in the Bible, and there are those, but you want to be real cautious about leading people away from anything that is honoring Jesus.
Right, absolutely.
And you just, so, because then you could find yourself in a position where you're, in a sense, an antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And, you know, and maybe there are those who are like, well, that's getting a little too broad of a category, but I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you read this text and you look at the context in which he puts it in there, I think that he says in this last hour, I mean, and you combine that with what Jesus said, you combine it with what Paul said
mm-hmm.
in Acts chapter 20 when he's talking to the elders in Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
That was what
yeah.
really got me, is he said, there will even be some of you, he's talking to the elders,
mm-hmm.
there will be some of you that lead people astray.
Yeah.
And I guess I would look at, How have you led people?
Mm-hmm.
Have you encouraged them to walk away from things or to walk away from Jesus? You know,
mm-hmm.
Jesus. Maybe you don't say, "Well, walk away from Jesus," but are you encouraging them to walk away from the body of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever. It just, you gotta
be
real.
Are you encouraging them to do the things that Scripture calls us to do? Be in the Word. Be in fellowship. Be in, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Pointing them to Jesus.
Absolutely.
And pointing them to the Scripture and all those things, and discipline and you know, truth and,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. Some people are just, they're just negative, but I don't think that they fully understand how their negativity could be interpreted
mm-hmm.
by God.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, you just got to be real careful with that. So
could we call any idol an antichrist? Any thing or person?
Technically, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you said, what is leading us away from Jesus? What am I replacing Jesus with? And I think that's where idols come into play. Like, this is, I worship this more than Jesus. And,
yeah.
You know, we've talked about that time and time again, you know, all these things, especially in our culture, that we hold to a higher value and esteem than Christ himself. And so, interesting.
It is. No,
it's good stuff. Yep.
Well, it's good.
So.
Got a lot of notes.
You do?
I do. Mm-hmm. Of course.
He kind of ends with just that encouragement to remember you've got the Holy Spirit to help you through this.
Yep.
So, and I still say you can't. There's something about the Holy Spirit within us, but then there's the Holy Spirit upon us, among us.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a special presence of the Holy Spirit when we gather together in that fellowship.
Yep.
And you need all of it.
Yeah.
You need all of it. And that's imperative to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when times get tough, that fellowship is where it says right there, you'll be full of courage.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
When you're in fellowship with Christ. So.
You know, I almost went into this on Sunday, but I didn't because I thought it'd be too much of a bunny trail. But if you think about every heresy that has ever been created, well, maybe not every single one. But so if we think about since the church age began,
mm-hmm.
it was so there is kind of this reoccurring process in which it happens. You have a person who's in church. At some point becomes disenchanted mm-hmm. with certain belief statements that church has, goes off on their own,
mm-hmm.
gets some kind of interpretation of scripture or revelation that's apart from what has been the traditional, thinks they found something new, brings a following, and then they begin like an offshoot, which isn't even true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the part that's kind of scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the founder, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in a church. He grew up in a regular Bible-believing church. And then one day he kind of went off and he had some new revelation and redefined who Christ is and mm-hmm. all this stuff. Or even the Book of Mormon, you know, and you can point to other examples of that. It's not enough. You got to beware.
Yeah.
You got to beware.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Good.
That's right. So you closed your message with this idea, and I think it's a good thing to just kind of wrap it up. The journey begins with the first step, and that is, do you know Jesus?
Absolutely.
And that's always the point to come back to. If you feel out of relationship with him, out of relationship with others, maybe you're not as close in your relationship as you used to be, do you know Jesus? And getting back into that fellowship and back into that intimacy mm-hmm. with him. So,
absolutely. Every journey begins with the first step.
That's right. Yep. So, good.
All right. Good.
Well, we're done with theology.
We have covered the entire theology book. So if you have watched all of the podcasts, congratulations. You have also then made it through the theology book.
So do they have to take the class?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, they do.
But you know what? You'll be that much more equipped and that's have right. processed all of the information that much more. And that's right.
Well, they don't have to take
Yeah, you don't have to, but who wouldn't want to?
You can't say I've watched this. I would look at this as supplemental material, not primary material.
That's right. Mm. Yep.
Because we don't go in as in-depth as
he
does.
No, we don't go as in-depth, but yeah. So...
Right. So we're going
to
talk about the book.
To bring the book, yes. So Tempered Resilience, How Leaders Are Formed in the Crucible of Change by Todd Bolsinger is the book that we have been reading as a staff. And we had read another book that he wrote called Canoeing the Mountains a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's a great author on a lot of leadership principles. And so this was a book that actually you had asked for recommendations, and so this book kind of came out and mm-hmm. was on my reading list.
Yeah, Marcy was the
I
one.
And
this
read,
is a really.
So.
I think that this is a very timely,
yeah.
good book, especially in light of the fact that you know we've been through over the last year and a half one of the big concepts about this book is how are you growing and learning
right.
through change
exactly
and. You know, are you, I don't know, are you doubling down with your anger
yep.
at change? Or are you looking at it from, are you reframing it? Go back
right.
to that winning the war in your mind.
Yep.
Are you reframing it and looking at, okay, how can I grow from all this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, here we are on the cusp of another season, hopefully it's not a year and a half, but mm-hmm. another season of intensity.
Right.
With COVID and who knows what else, who knows what goes with that.
Yeah.
But, and I see people doing the exact same thing that they did.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how have you learned from where you've been?
Did you not learn anything?
Yeah.
Over the last year and a half?
Right. Yeah, because the reality is that, you know, the subtitle here is how leaders are formed in the crucible of change. And the reality is that over the last 18 months, I don't think there's a single person on the planet who hasn't had some sort of change happen in their life. Because it wasn't a change that was maybe initiated by you, but you suddenly found yourself in circumstances that were different than what they had been. And so it's something that everybody has gone through. Everybody's normal has been shaken, and that involves change.
It was interesting to go through the GLS and hear leader after leader after leader after leader after leader all having the same experience.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, there was a theme of persistence.
There's a theme of, you know, people. So there's like this, yeah, it's resistance, it's resilience. Mm-hmm. Craig Groeschel came up with the puck and analogy, which means pain, uncertainty, and chaos.
Yes, increase your capacity for puck.
For pain, uncertainty, pain, and chaos. Uncertainty and, you know, chaos. For a lot of, I guess, you know, it was kind of interesting because, you know, and a lot of leaders talked about the same thing. They found themselves in a place where no matter what they did, mm-hmm. people were upset.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And these were relationships you had with people for years. Mm-hmm. And just suddenly, they're over.
Yep.
Because of one thing. Mm-hmm. And nobody cared about the fact that as a leader, you were trying to lead an organization through an unprecedented season. Mm-hmm. And nobody knew what to do.
Right.
But yet, at the same time, the people that weren't in those positions, they knew exactly what to do.
Right.
There's only one difference. None of them were in that position. And they didn't have the responsibility. And so, mm-hmm. but it was just this season. But even in all of that, as a leader, it's like, okay, so what did you learn about mm-hmm. yourself?
Right.
And what are some areas that you could grow mm-hmm. because you learned? And we spent time, it was several weeks ago, because I could see that we were coming back into this. And we
yes.
as a staff were like, okay, so this was like 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm like, what did we learn from the last season? What did mm-hmm. we do wrong?
Yep.
You know, what are the things that we don't ever do again? Mm-hmm. And what are the things that we do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? And we just got to have a real honest mm-hmm. conversation about that. But that's kind of so his whole thing is he's using this analogy of leadership is like, so it's like tempering steel.
Mm-hmm.
You want it to get to the right state where it's strong enough, but it's yet flexible enough
right.
that it can be
adaptable
and mm-hmm. used for yep. its purpose. If it's too hard, it breaks. Mm-hmm. If it's too soft, it bends.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to be just the right.
But that process takes heat, right?
Yep. Pounding.
Pounding.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of hard work.
You have to put stress on the steel. Mm-hmm. You have to, yeah, no, it's yeah. a lot. So it's really, really good. But there is a difference between you know, leadership and management, and one of the big things, so resistance mm-hmm. is a part of leadership, and even sabotage. It talks about sabotage
yep.
and
yep.
all of these things. And we're sitting there reading this, and I'm like, yep, yep. It's really, really good.
But it is good.
But one of the things he talked about is if you're too soft, you'll have failure of nerve. If
yeah.
you're too,
hard,
you'll have a mm-hmm. Failure of heart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you want to have just the right amount of nerve and heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this idea of being properly. So
yeah.
So if you want to kind of join us with this
yeah.
would be the book. You could get it at Choices
yep.
in town, maybe. I don't mm-hmm. know if they have copies of this book or not.
They can get it in if they don't.
They could order
yes,
it in for you, or
right.
you could order it online. You know, I would encourage you to shop local.
Yep.
Support local business. They can try to get it for you, but you can follow along
yeah.
Over the weeks.
Yep.
I don't know how long we'll spend on it.
I don't know either, but it's a good read.
It's really, really good.
It is.
And yep. I think that it helps you reframe all the challenges and things that you've been in. It's really mm-hmm. good. I mean, if you are in a position of leadership,
right.
this will be this will be like a cold drink of water in the desert for
you. Yep. Yep.
So.
Yes. Yeah. One of the quotes that I have here, and this is maybe jumping way ahead, but we talked about this at the staff meeting yesterday too. Adaptability comes from the integrity of character, values, and identity, and serves as unchanging leverage point for agile, innovative solutions. And I just think that sentence kind of sums up a little bit some of those core values and how you can grow strength in that and be flexible and adaptable to change and to the situation. And
so I've got a question for you, and maybe this isn't something we should talk about in front of everybody. But you know, early on, when the way began, you became known as the Steve Whisperer because you understood.
Yeah.
You understood, you know, so it's like, so whenever there was a question, people turn to you and say, what do you think Steve would say?
Yes.
And yeah. You, so how.
And I kind of knew.
But how would you say that you knew that? Because I think that, and again, this is not about me, but it's about leadership in general. You know, don't you think that there's like this weird complexity in leaders, but yet there's this underlayer of simplicity?
Yeah.
It's like you figured that out. You just knew what hills I'd die on.
Yep.
And you knew what hills I'd be like, oh, I don't care.
Right. And yes.
But why were you one of the first ones to kind of figure that out?
I think I knew very, very, very early on that this is where we were supposed to be. Like, part of our story is, you know, my grandma was living in the manor in Pella, yeah. And she heard through the buzz in the manor that Third was planting a church. And she literally called me the day she heard, and as soon as I heard, I knew. Like, I knew that they're planting a church in Newton. I was like, I didn't know you, I didn't know Vicky, I didn't know, but Todd and I had been to Third, so we knew Third. And so we just knew that's what we're supposed to do. And so, and then in the midst of that also, I knew, like, it's just that feeling inside, right? It's the Holy Spirit inside. I knew that I was supposed to be involved in children's ministry. I didn't know, I'll help however you want. But in the midst of that, I think that there was a calling there. And so then with that, then
the Holy Spirit gave you insight.
The Holy Spirit gave me insight. That's right. So, but then coming, you know, joining the church plant and just knowing this is what we're going to do. And this is what God is calling us to do. And then working with you and I don't know, just knowing like the core values and this is what's important. And I think too, just aligning with that mission and vision, we are here to tell people the gospel, and we are here to, you know, help seek and save the lost, and just these are the hills that we're going to die on. But I think that that's all wrapped around the mission and vision and core values. And so there's things that don't matter, you know, I mean, does the paint color matter? Well, it helps create the space and the environment and all of that. But is it something we're going to fight over? No.
No.
And so here's who's going to make the decision, and we're going to move forward with that. And
I'm not going to dwell on it.
Yes, exactly. And so, so I think just over time, you know, it was just those core values. And I talked about this at staff meeting yesterday too, but you know, I love the word framework. And so I think that you put those core values and those pieces of identity, like who is the way? Like, who is God calling?
Right. You're trying to create a culture.
And to, yes, and in that culture, and then what does that look like, and how do you create a framework in that, so it's not about, well, it means that we have to do this, so we have to offer this class, or because we always have, or we have to offer this program, but it's about, no, this is why we do what we do.
Right.
And I think that I just instinctively had that understanding of the why, and because of the mission and vision and core values and all of that. And so that just kind of helps sift out the rest.
Right.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah. But. And I think that type of this idea of being grounded in certain values that are consistent.
Yeah.
And they're not contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you came to the Way and you went into a position of leadership and you wanted to, like let's say you didn't get the mission, the vision, the core values, and our culture and who we were, mm-hmm. you might feel like you meet with resistance.
Right.
But you don't.
Right.
What you do is you meet with, well, that's, you know, that's not really who we are.
Mm-hmm.
It may be interpreted as resistance, but
right.
But if you are, you know, kind of aligned with those core values and the mission and vision and all of those things, then there's so much freedom
mm-hmm.
in that.
Yeah.
But it's hard
mm-hmm.
In some ways, but in other ways it's pretty easy. But I do think that, and I would say that the mission, the vision, the core values are not mine.
Right.
So it's not like, I mean, even though there's nothing there that I object to anything,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that was a year of prayer and discernment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, what does Christ want this church to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why does Newton need another church? Well, they don't right. need another church. What they need is they need this mission and vision in this church.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're going to do. And that's why we're here. We're not trying to be anybody else.
Right.
We're just trying to be what we're trying to be. And so, but I think that's really, really important. And we also, another big key concept to this is that, you know, if we look at Jesus
mm-hmm.
and the ways in which, you know, he had the right, I mean, he had the right temperament, mm-hmm. right? Obviously.
Right.
He was strong when he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
He was soft when he needed to be.
Yep.
But he was focused
mm-hmm.
on why he was there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that in itself. And anybody that agreed with his purpose, they loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But if he didn't agree with his right. purpose, you wanted him crucified.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. That's very angry. But that's what leaders do. Leaders lead change through resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be easy.
Right.
And that's why as soon as resistance comes and the resistance to change, as soon as that comes, a lot of people kind of cave in because mm-hmm. it's so difficult.
Yeah.
It's hard to just keep pushing forward.
Yep. But I think you have to know who you are and what God's called you to.
Absolutely.
And be willing to walk in obedience to persevere. That's what that word perseverance keeps coming back. And, you know, that word of grit, too.
When you see a successful person in whatever field it is that has achieved
mm-hmm.
that success through, they had to have persistence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no way they just accidentally stumbled
right.
into that place.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's why oftentimes, you know, for example, when you see lottery winners, everybody wants to win the lottery.
Right.
But there's statistics and there's all these stories about people that win the lottery, but they never develop the character to handle
right.
the winning. And so it really, their life, you know, several, you know, a decade later, their life is worse off
mm-hmm.
than it was before.
Right.
But there's something in that persistence, that perseverance, and this process
mm-hmm.
that helps you develop the character to right. wherever it is that you end up.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you can tell I get pretty passionate about leadership.
Yeah. No, it's good. It is good. So, yeah.
So it gives me an opportunity to share, you know, kind of my, you know, my passion about leadership. And, you know, so the two things that make me, that really make me happy about doing what I do, one is when people come to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then I love to see people grow into leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love that. Discipleship. Yes.
Yep.
But more so than that.
And, yeah.
When they actually start making disciples,
right.
and they start, you know, taking risks
mm-hmm.
and doing all these things and leading initiatives, that is exciting
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, anyway.
Well, it's good.
Cool. Let's talk about announcements.
Yeah. I've got two bulletins today. So
two?
Two, yes. I have last week's and I have this week's hot off the press. So, yep. Mm. That's right. So hopefully I won't forget anything. Would you like to follow along?
I will. Don't worry.
Don't
worry. You got a lot of notes there.
Don't worry, I will. There you go, Aaron. That's last week's, but you can have last week's. So this Saturday is the ARC event. So we have been collecting school
nice.
Supplies and donations. If you still have those sitting in your kitchen that you're like, oh, I need to bring those in, you can still bring those in through Friday. So mm-hmm. the ARC event is on Saturday.
Are crayons on the list?
This has been the debate. Is it a crayon or a crayon?
Crayon.
That
or
is
crayon.
The debate. Yes. I think we're all crayon people.
We're all crayon. Crayon. Yes. Yeah. Because there's a Y, an A followed by a Y.
C-R-A-Y, syllable.O-N. Is it a two-syllable word?
And the dictionary says crayon.
Crayon. So. That's right.
Anyway.
Yes. So, if you're not sure, you could call it a Crayola, but for the record.
Crayola.
So, the ARC event will be in Newton on Saturday morning, and they will be in Baxter on Saturday afternoon. So, bring in your school supplies if you still have those, and still time to get them in. And then, this Sunday is an informational meeting about the community outreach meals. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, several of us got together and just felt like the Holy Spirit was telling us we need to get out into the community and just provide free food, free meals for families. So this Sunday, we're going to have a gathering in between services over here in the Discipleship Center and talk about what that looks like. But we've got four locations picked out at the end of August, beginning of September that week. And we are going to just set up shop in a couple different areas in Newton and a place in Baxter. And we need volunteers. We need volunteers to pass out flyers. Mm-hmm. To specifically some apartment complexes in the neighborhoods we're going to be at. And we need volunteers to maybe help serve food, but more importantly, engage in conversation with the people that show up and just love on them and maybe evangelize and just share the love of Jesus with them. So,
and I think that's just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's exciting.
I'm so excited about it.
Yep.
I'm excited. And if one person shows up, we're going to love on that one person.
That's right.
So. We're really excited about it.
Yeah. So informational meeting this Sunday after the 9 o'clock service.
Correct.
So come over to the Discipleship Center if you want to find out more, and Aaron will be there to tell you more about it.
I will.
It's good. Then next Sunday is the ministry fair. So we are working to get our classes all together in our ministry book and get that all out and ready to you. And we'll have that information all out on the website soon as well. And then next week, we have invited in leaders to come into the Discipleship Center and just be available for questions and information. So if there is something that you are wanting to know more about, or, you know, I've heard about this class, or I've heard about, you know, this serving opportunity or whatever that might be, but I kind of like to know more, you can come in and talk to the leaders and find out more information. And so that's going to be on Sunday, August 22. And so we're excited about that as well.
Yeah.
And then on the 29th, we have a back to school prayer event. So we're inviting families and teachers and school staff and kids to come in on the 29th between services and receive prayer. So we're going to have some prayer teams available over here in the Discipleship Center, and kids will have been back to school for a few days. But this is just kind of how it worked in the schedule. So so we're Sunday the 29th, we're going to do that back to school prayer event, and we're excited for that opportunity as well. So, and then we've been announcing men's kickoff for Kingdom Builders is on Saturday, August 28th. I hear that they have two great speakers going to be at that event.
I heard that too.
Two speakers, I don't know.
Two great speakers.
Have you figured out what you're going to talk about?
No, we should probably consider running that by each other so we don't talk about the same thing.
Consistent themes, right?
Yeah.
There you go. So 8 to 11, Saturday, August 28th. You won't want to miss it. Breakfast available also that day.
Oh, there'll be food there.
Yeah, food
for
sure.
So the last time they had like tire throwing.
That was hard. Did you try that?
I did, and I think I either tied or won the event, or I was close. I did.
I thought Zach Bean won.
I said, I'm going to throw one time. So I got up there, and I threw it, and it stood for a while, but maybe somebody did beat it. I don't know. I walked away because I don't like... So I'm extremely competitive, and I don't like to beat people at the church in anything.
At the church.
So Steve will throw once. And
I did. I said, I'll make one throw.
Unless it's the alligator tooth game, then it's game on. Is that what you're saying?
Well, that's completely luck and random. I mean, I get more competitive when there's kind of more skill involved or there's more. But
I remember you telling me early on in the church that you couldn't play church league softball because you were too competitive.
I am, yeah. Yeah, I hate losing. I absolutely hate it. I mean, it bothers me to the point. And I, you know, maybe that's sin in me. I don't know, but there's just something that, to me, losing. There's something just infuriating about losing.
Competitive for Jesus.
I wouldn't cheat to win ever, but I just hate to lose. So
I don't like losing to my kids. Gideon keeps beating me at sorry.
Gideon is little.
He's 4 years old!
Aaron!
He destroys me at sorry. It's aggravating.
That's pretty funny.
I'm happy for him because he's so happy
excited.
He wins. But
that's right.
Inside
beat
I'm
again.
Like, I can't believe I lost to a 4-year-old.
Yep, you did.
But I mean, sorry, it's a lot of luck on what card you draw. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Oh. I reached the point in life where I just found it easier just to not
compete.
I mean, I did and I still can, but I'm just really smart about where I do it.
Yeah.
Do you ever compete with Vicky?
Not really.
Once a year, my wife gets this itch to play tennis. And what ends up happening...
I'm sure that's the only time you two compete.
Well...
Right. Crayon? Crayon.
But she'll be like, let's volley.
I will camp, that's right.
Let's play tennis and volley, and pretty soon, like... She'll just serve one up to me, and I just slam it as hard as I can. And then she gets mad at me, and I'm like, what's the point in playing
tennis?
You're
supposed to be nice.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about the kids' summer camp where you did the arm wrestling competition with Trisha, and she was like, oh, I've almost got it. And then you were like,
I wasn't going to win.
This is nothing. Let's talk
I get my
about
manhood
that.
Attacked enough on podcasts. I don't need
Trisha.
My wife to.
You know what? So
whatever.
As far as all the stuff going on that men's day, I think it's great. And I know that a lot of guys can handle good competition,
right.
And it's all good and fun and all that stuff. And you know, I can do things like this, and it's not that big a deal. But I prefer to watch, and
yeah.
I'm excited for people. I just don't want to be in that area where I'm like competing against people like that. So.
Yes, and for the record, we have no idea what activities they are actually going to have.
Well, I think they're going to have where they're going to pound in the nails.
The nail
driving. I think they'll probably have the tire toss.
They had a ball toss game,
food,
too. That was pretty
and
fun.
And two speakers. That's
yep,
what I
that's
know.
True.
And
what more
food.
Do you want?
That's
good
right.
Food.
Good food.
Good food.
And speakers.
And fellowship.
Well,
that's a good fellowship.
It's going to be good.
Right.
You should come.
I'll be
women's,
there.
We have been talking about women's, the women's ministry that are going to go to Hidden Acres. And so that is September 17 through 19. So now is the time to be thinking about that and getting that on your calendar and signing up and registering. So then we also want to talk about Fall Fest. So Fall Fest is our kickoff for the ministry
yeah.
year. And we are going to be doing Fall Fest again this year, and we are very excited about that. So it is Saturday, September 11 from 3:30 to 6:30. And we have signups online for different volunteer spots that we need volunteers for, whether it's kids games or serving food or serving cotton candy. And what
there's
else
gonna
is
be
outside?
Cotton candy there,
root
huh?
beer floats, I think.
Ooh.
There is, yes, all the good stuff.
Well,
so we
sugar
have
sugar up everybody's kids and send
that's
them out.
That's right. Then we have children's ministry starting the next day.
I'll be great.
I'll
be cursing Dave Wagner at 11 o'clock at night.
My children wouldn't
when my
go to
children
sleep.
Won't go
but
to
it's
sleep.
Gonna be great, and you should definitely bring your kids.
Yes,
they
it'll
will
be
have fun.
It's a blast.
So,
if you
it's
time it just right, the sugar crash
there we go.
Could work in your
it
favor.
It could work
that's
in your
true.
Favor. That's right.
That's
so come early.
That's
come
true.
3:30. Give your kids some cotton
cut
candy.
Cut them off by 5 o'clock or
yep.
by 4 o'clock.
Yep. Yeah. We're gonna have some good supper food available too. So invite people that you know as well. And so we'd love for people to join us. It's a great community event, good outreach, and just a good time of food and fun and fellowship. So
I heard a rumor.
Mark your calendar. Yes.
You're going to be there.
I will be there.
And you may lead us in some songs. Like you may be singing.
Probably not.
just saying that's what I heard. But
that's what you heard at Fall Fest. Probably not.
People will come if they know Marcy's going to be on the center stage leading us.
How about children's ministry the next day?
Well, my wife's going to be leading that.
I know.
That.
She will be leading that, but I could help her.
You could.
If I had to
well,
stay
why don't
anywhere,
you guys, let's
it
practice,
would be with kids.
Practice at Fall Fest. And
right.
Just a thought.
Yeah.
Just a rumor.
Are those all the announcements?
I think it is. Yeah. Two places to plug in to serve. Worship team is still looking for people and nursery volunteers. So awesome. Those are our two places that we're that's looking good. For people. So
good.
That's it.
So I just kind of reemphasize, you know, so we touched on this a little bit about the whole, you know, COVID stuff that's starting to resurface and all those things. And I want to let everybody know that, you know, because it's inevitable that people are going to start having questions mm-hmm. about stuff. And I want to remind people that at this point, we have people that have had COVID
uh-huh.
and we have people that have been vaccinated mm-hmm. and we've had people that have had COVID and been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And so our intention as a church is just to keep going on.
Yes.
Now, I want to encourage you, if you have concerns, you can take precautions. You can do, you know, God bless you as you prayerfully consider what it is that you need to do. If you've never had COVID, you have health conditions, whatever it is. But our intention as a leadership, because we've all talked about this mm-hmm. as a staff, we're just going to keep going forward.
Yep.
And we are going to live and have fun and do the things that Christ has called us to do. And so we're just not necessarily going to. I think that a lot of the data can be concerning unless you kind of look under the surface. And you know, there's just, we have got to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one way through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for everybody to build up immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to have it, and it can be serious when people get it. So we, you know, we're going to just take it as it comes, and we're going to keep loving and leading and doing what we have to do. But we're not going to get deterred from what Christ is calling us to do.
Right.
Kind of like the buffalo cow analogy you used.
Yeah, you know, we're going to keep facing the storm. We're going to keep marching into the storm, and you know, I feel like I want to just give permission to people to do what they feel like they need to do, but
don't completely disconnect.
No,
stay connected, whether it's through That's email, right. phone calls, whatever. Don't isolate and disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Stay connected somehow, mm-hmm. some way. And just watching a video online is not being connected.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are levels. I mean, call us during the week and just check in. And, you know, Aaron is the congregational care leader. If you know, we'll be calling you eventually.
Yeah.
So hopefully as we go. If you want him to regularly check in with you and pray for you, and or even myself or anybody else mm-hmm. on staff, just let us know.
Let us know.
Yep.
But if you don't tell us, we don't know.
Right.
Right? So we're not sitting over there. We're not going to intrude.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, we're just, that's kind of what they did things back in the old days. You don't do that now. You just kind of honor people in their if they have desires for privacy or whatever it is. But just mm-hmm. let us know.
Yeah.
Be proactive in that regard as well. So, but I think the term that I like is we're adulting, which is you just kind of let people decide for themselves
right.
what they're going to do.
Be adults and make their decisions.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're not going to make anybody do anything. We're just going to do what Christ has called us to do, and we're going to keep moving through the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So what Amen. We're going to do. All right. So that being said, thank
That's
you
right.
once again for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And as always, we love you, and we love our times where we get to have fellowship with you. And mm-hmm. If it's been a while, we hope that there's a time coming again soon. We hope we see you on Sunday. So God bless. Have a great rest of your week.